Hi everyone, today's parak of Rambam is the second chapter of Hilchos Megillah v'Chanukah. In this parak, the Rambam continues his discussion of the mitzvah of Megillah, along with the other mitzvos of the day of Purim. Halacha Aleph. Hakoreas Megillah l'mafreya lo yatza. If somebody reads the Megillah out of order, then he has not fulfilled his obligation. Kara v'shachach pasuk echad, v'kara pasuk sheni lo, v'chazar v'kara pasuk sheshachach, v'chazar v'kara pasuk shlishi, lo yatza. If somebody had read one pasuk, and then skipped a second pasuk, then read a third pasuk, then went back to the pasuk he had skipped, which was the second pasuk, and then returned to the fourth pasuk, which he was up to, he has not fulfilled his obligation. Lo yatza. Mipnei shekara pasuk echad l'mafreya. Since in that case, he read one of those pasukim out of order. He had read 1, 3, and then 2, 4. So since 2 and 3 were reversed, therefore he hasn't fulfilled his obligation. Ella ketad osa. So what should you do in that circumstance, where you read pasuk 1, then read pasuk 3 accidentally? What are you supposed to do? Maskemli pasuk sheni sheshachach. He goes back to the second pasuk he had forgotten, i.e. pasuk 2. Mekori alas eder, and then he reads 2, 3, 4, and onward. He shouldn't do 1, 3, 2, 4. He should do 1, 3, and then go back to 2, then 3, then 4, etc. Halacha beis. Matzit tzibar shekaru chatzya. If somebody found a congregation which was midway through the Megillah, lo yomar ekra chatzya ha'achron imat tzibar, be'echzor ve'ekra chatzya rishon. A person shouldn't say to himself, I'll read the latter half of the Megillah along with the congregation, and then I'll go back and read the first part on my own. Shezek kori l'mafreya, because that counts as reading out of order. El kori mitchila v'adsof ala seder. Instead, he's supposed to read from the beginning to the end, directly in that order. Kara v'shaha ma'at, v'chazor v'kara. If a person read a little bit, delayed, and then went back to continue reading, aval pi sheshah kedei ligmar eskula, even though he delayed for a long enough delay that there was enough time for him to have read the entirety of the Megillah, hoa v'kara ala seder yatza. Since he technically read it in order in this case, he read pasuk 1 through, let's say, 5, and he paused for an hour, he's allowed to go and pick up from pasuk 6 and continue as long as he sticks in the actual order of the Megillah. Halacha gimel. Hakoreas Megillah al peh. If somebody reads the Megillah by heart, lo yatza yidei chovaso. He has not fulfilled his obligation. He needs to read it inside. Haloes sheshomas Megillah ksuva b'lashon hakodesh, v'kisvei hakodesh, af al pi she'inu yodea ma hein omrin, yatza yidei chovaso. If somebody who's a foreigner, he doesn't speak Hebrew, hears the Megillah read in Hebrew, in the same way it's written in Hebrew, then even though he didn't understand what they were saying, nonetheless, he has fulfilled his obligation. And similarly, if it was written in Greek and he heard it, yatza, he's fulfilled his obligation, even though he might be unfamiliar with Greek, even if he's somebody who speaks Hebrew and he only heard it in Greek, nonetheless, he has fulfilled his obligation. Halacha dalet. If the Megillah was written in Aramaic or some other foreign language, a person who reads it has not fulfilled his obligation, unless he understands that language. That means to say, though, that if he does understand the language, he does fulfill his obligation. However, this is assuming that it was actually written in that language. However, if it was written, let's say, in Hebrew, but the one who was reading it read it in Aramaic for somebody else as well, for somebody who speaks Aramaic, so then he has not fulfilled his obligation, because that's as if he read it by heart. And similarly then, since the one who read the Megillah did not fulfill his obligation, then the one who was listening to him also did not fulfill his obligation. If somebody read the Megillah without the proper intent, he has not fulfilled his obligation. Kate Zad, that I'm going to now illustrate. Hayakosva Odarsha Omagia. If he was writing it, or he was studying it and interpreting it, or he was fixing the text, he was amending it. Im kibenas libo, let's say, spekriya zo, yatza. Im lo kiben libo, lo yatza. So then it depends on what his intent was. If he was intending to fulfill his obligation as he was reading it in this fashion, so then he's fulfilled his obligation. But if he wasn't intending to fulfill his obligation, then he has not fulfilled his obligation. Kora, whom is namne? If somebody was reading the Megillah while he was a little bit drifting off, dozing off, since he hadn't fallen completely asleep, really asleep, so then he has fulfilled his obligation. When is that true? That somebody who was focused on fulfilling his obligation as he was writing the Megillah and reciting it as he read it, that he's fulfilled his obligation. This is assuming that he was intending to fulfill his obligation from the other sefer that he was reading from, that he was copying from at the time when he was writing it. However, he didn't have intent to fulfill his obligation by reading that other Megillah as he was writing it, then he's not fulfilled his obligation. Because you can only fulfill your obligation from a Megillah which was entirely written at the time when you were reading from it. And the one that you're in the middle of working on is only up to the point where you are up to as you're writing it. So if you intend to read and fulfill your obligation from the one that you're copying from, which is already a full Megillah, you're Yotze, but if not, you have not. Halacha Zayin. Hakoreas Megillah v'ta'a b'kriyasa v'kara kriya v'shubashas yatza. If somebody was reading the Megillah and he made a mistake while he was reading it and read it in an imprecise fashion, he has fulfilled his obligation. Because we don't have to be so exacting with regards to how he reads it. Kara omeid o yoshev yatza. Hafila b'tzibor. When the one who was reading the Megillah was standing or sitting, he has nonetheless fulfilled his obligation, and this is even true for the community. However, when one is reading for the community, he shouldn't ideally do it while sitting because it displays a lack of dignity for the congregation. Instead, he should do it standing, which is more appropriate. If two or even 10 people all read it at once, they have fulfilled their obligation, both the readers as well as the ones listening to those readers. And in fact, you can even have an adult and somebody who is not obligated, a child, read the Megillah simultaneously, even in public, and the people can still fulfill their obligation. A person should not read from a Megillah which was written in a Megillah containing other holy texts. If it has other books of Tanakh, it is invalid. And in fact, if you read from such a Megillah, then it's not going to count. Unless the portions of parchment on which it was written are either bigger or smaller than those for the rest of it, so that way the Megillah component of it itself seems to stand out, it's distinct. However, an individual, as opposed to when one's reading it in public for the community, but an individual who's reading it, he is able to fulfill his obligation even if this Megillah component of this larger group of texts is not larger or smaller in its size. Nonetheless, an individual can fulfill his obligation from it. Hakates. Ein kosher na Megillah el b'diyo al gvil al klav k'sefer Torah. A Megillah is only allowed to be written with ink on these different types of parchment, as we've discussed in Hilchos Sefer Torah, the gvil or the klav of a Sefer Torah, just like a Sefer Torah. If it was written with other types of ink, such as gallnut juice or another type of ink, so then one has been able to fulfill his obligation. However, if you wrote it with any other type of dye, it's invalid. And it also needs the ruling, those lines that are etched into the parchment, just like a Sefer Torah. However, unlike a Sefer Torah, we don't need the one who's tanning those parchments to do so for the sake of it being a Megillah. If it was written on paper or on parchment which had not been tanned, or it was written by an idolater or a heretic, so then it's an invalid Megillah and you can't be yotze your obligation with it. If the letters of the Megillah are either rubbed out or they're torn apart, if you can still see the letters clearly enough, even if most of it has been rubbed out, nonetheless, it still is valid. However, if the letter can't be made out all on its own, if most of it is still intact, then nonetheless, it counts as a valid Megillah. But if most of it is not intact, in that case, so then, since you can recognize the letter and most of it's not intact, if somebody reads from it, they have not fulfilled their obligation. If the one who had written the Megillah had left out either letters or even entire verses, and the one who's reading the Megillah reads those verses all by heart, so then he has fulfilled his obligation. The point here being, as opposed to beforehand, at least he read part of the Megillah inside, as opposed to all of it outside. Halacha Yud Aleph. HaMegillah tzricha shtei tfura kula ash yukola oroseha Megillah achas. A Megillah needs to be sewn together to the point where all the different parchments are joined as a single scroll, one Megillah. Now, how do you sew it together? You can only do so with the sinews of an animal, just like by a Sefer Torah. And if somebody had stitched them together without using these sinews, so then it is invalid. However, one does not need to stitch together the entire parchment with these gedin, just as we do by Sefer Torah. By a Megillah, because it's called a letter rather than just a scroll, so if you just have three stitchings towards the bottom of the parchment, three in the middle, and three towards the top, so then that's considered valid enough. And the one who is reading the Megillah needs to read the 10 names of Haman's children, as well as the word Aseres, all in one breath, in order to show the entire nation that all of them, these 10, were hung and killed at once. And it is standard custom amongst all the Bnei Yisrael that the one who is reading the Megillah should read it and have it spread out in front of him like a letter in order to demonstrate the miracle. And when he completes reading the Megillah, he goes back and he rolls it all up once and then makes the blessing. These 2 days of Purim, the 14th and 15th day of Adar respectively, are forbidden in eulogizing and in fasting for any person in any place. This is true with regards to the 15th for people who are in a 14th place, and this is true with regards to the 14th for people who are in a 15th place. It doesn't matter where you are, both days are considered significant in this way. And similarly, both days, the 14th and 15th of Adar, are forbidden in eulogizing and fasting in both Adars, if it's a leap year and there's two Adars. So then, in both of them, the 14th and 15th have these prohibitions. The people who live in villages who have brought the reading a bit earlier on either the Monday or Thursday, which was closer to Purim, as we described in the previous parak, Mutarm has been the times beyond Kriyasa. On that day when they're reading it, let's say they're reading on the 12th of Adar. So on that day, it's permitted for them to eulogize or fast. Vasurim has been the times b'shneim elu, and they are forbidden, just like the rest of Klal Yisrael, on the 2 days of the 14th and 15th, afal pi she'ein korban pen, even though they are not reading on those days. Halacha yadalad. Mitzvahs yom yadal levnei kfarim, vayaros yom tezvav levnei krachim, lios yom simcha umishta umishloach manos l'reim, matanos levionim. There is a special mitzvah on the 14th day of Adar for the people in regular cities, and the 15th day of Adar for people in the walled cities, to make that day, respectively, the 14th for them and the 15th for them, a day of rejoicing and feasting, of sending food items to friends, and to giving gifts to the poor. Umbatcher basiyas melacha, on these days it is permitted to do work. V'aval pikein ein roi lasos bo melacha. Nonetheless, it's not fitting for somebody to do work on that day. Amru chachamim, anybody who does work on Purim, the sages teach us, he won't see any success in that endeavor. He won't see any sign of blessing. With regards to the villagers who might have brought the reading a bit earlier, again, as described in the previous parak, and they had therefore read on the Monday or Thursday before Purim, if they had distributed money to the poor people on the day that they read it, again, let's say they were reading on the 12th, if they distributed money on the 12th, then yatsu, they fulfilled their obligation of that mitzvah. However, with regards to the rejoicing, the feasting, that needs to still be done on the 14th. If they did it earlier, they make dimu, lo yatsu. If they brought it to that earlier day when they were reading, they have not fulfilled their obligation. And if somebody makes the suda, the feast of Purim, at nighttime, on Purim evening, so then one has not fulfilled their obligation. Halacha tezvav. Keitan chovas suda zu. What is the obligation of this meal? How do we have this feast? Sheyocha basar v'takein suda na kefi asher timsa yada. That a person should eat meat and prepare a beautiful meal in accordance with his level of wealth. V'shosa yayin ashi yishtaker v'yiradeim v'shachruso. And one should drink wine to the point where he becomes intoxicated and falls asleep in his intoxication. V'chein chayv adam l'shloach shtei menos basar o shnei minei tavshil o shnei minei achalim l'chaver. And a person is similarly obligated to send two food items, either two pieces of meat or two different types of cooked dishes or two types of food to his friend. Shnei amar, as the pasuk says, m'shloach manos ish l'reihu shtei manos l'ish echad. We see from the pasuk, which says you send manos in the plural, gifts, ish l'reihu in the singular, to one man, that you need to give two items to at least one person. However, the more one sends to more friends, the better it is. And if a person doesn't have the means, if there's two poor people, what they just do is they simply exchange their meals with each other. One of them prepares a meal for himself with this small level of means that he has. The other one does the same. And then they exchange their meals in order that way they can fulfill the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. One is obligated to distribute funds to the poor people on Purim. And one cannot give less than to at least two different poor people, each one of them at least one gift or one sum of money or one cooked item or one other type of food. In contrast to what we had before by the Mishloach Manos, with regards to Matanos Lavionim, you have to give at least two total gifts to two total people, so one respectively for each, because the pasuk phrases both the word Matanos and Avionim in the plural. The aim of Dakdin Mimos Purim, Ela Kolaposh Yado Lito Nosin Lo. And we aren't as exact with regards to giving out money on Purim. If somebody stretches out his hand asking for money, so then we give it him, and we don't have to check into his background and ensure that he needs the money. The aim of Shanan Mos Purim, let's duck Acheres. And if money had been collected for the sake of Purim, we are not able to change it from that purpose and say, look, Daniyim don't need as much money today, we have other important projects we need, and the Gabbai, the one in charge of these funds, might think then to change it for that other purpose. That is not allowed. The money that was collected for Purim should be used for Purim. Halacha Yud Zayin, a very important halacha. Mutav la'adam l'harbos b'matnos l'avionim, min'harbos b'sudaso b'shiluach manos l'reyav. It is better for a person to increase the amount of gifts he gives to the poor than that he increase his own feast and the gifts that he sends to his friends. She'ein sham simcha gedola umufa'ara el sameach lev aniyim visomim v'amanos v'gerim. Because there is no greater joy, no more dignified, splendid joy, other than to make happy the hearts of the poor, the orphans, the widows, the converts. Shem sameach lev ha'umlalim ha'elu doma l'shechina. Because somebody who causes these despondent individuals to rejoice, that individual is comparable to the divine presence itself. Shnei Amar, the pasuk says, L'chayos ruach shvalim, l'chayos lev nidkayim. Because in terms of describing God, the divine presence, the pasuk in Yeshaya says that it revives the spirit of those that are low and gives life to the heart of those who are broken. Halacha Yud Ches, the final halacha in the parak, and the final halacha which relates to the laws of Megillah and Purim. Kol Sifrei Nevi'im v'chol HaKesuvim Asidim Libatel Limos HaMashiach Chutz Megillas Esther. The Rambam tells us that all the books of the prophets, all the different holy writings which we have, the Nevi'im, the Ksuvim, are one day going to be nullified in the days of Mashiach, the Messiah, except Chutz Megillas Esther, with the one exception being the Book of Esther. It will remain extant like the five books of the Torah, and just like the legal components, the laws of the oral Torah, which will never be nullified. And even though all remembrance, all recollection of the past tragedies that Klal Yisrael had to experience will be nullified. Shnei Amar, the pasuk says, "Kineshkehu atzaros harishonim b'chi nisteru me'ini." As the pasuk says, with regards to our past difficulties, that they will be forgotten. We won't recall them because of all the good that we'll have. Yimei Purim lo yibatlu. The days of Purim will not be nullified. Shnei Amar, the pasuk says, in Esther, "Yimei Purim aila lo yavru mitoch hayudim v'zechram lo yasuf mizaram." These days of Purim will never be forgotten from the Bnei Yisrael. Their memory will never cease from amongst their descendants. Have a wonderful day.